Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
I was going to do the theme music, which is always great when I sing theme music with no words.
We have a theme?
No, for the movie.
Oh, okay.
The movie right. That you're reviewing.
I was like, wait a minute.
Isn't it like a doodle-doodle? I don't know. I can't do it. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I think that's our theme. You saw Halloween.
I did. Which, funny enough, the movie's name, and I double check this just to make sure, like it doesn't have like an asterisk or like a you know cubed or something up in the movie's name is Halloween. So if you watch this in the order that they want you to, because apparently none of the other Halloweens are canon anymore, or at least
what about the first one?
Well, that one is. I'm saying okay. The first Halloween happened. Well, okay, it's a movie. It didn't happen.
Let you me understand? Throw this out here. I've never seen an entire Halloween movie. I've seen so many parts of it. I feel like I've seen it.
The original Halloween and Halloween 2 are mm-hmm. honestly the only ones you need to
and
spend
there have
the
been,
time
what,
on.
17 of them?
Good Lord, it's something like that.
Okay.
Halloween 3 doesn't even feature Michael Myers. Like, John Carpenter, like who, by the way, is an incredible director and writer.
Does it feature Jaws? Halloween. Imagine Halloween 3 and Jaws 3, like the machine.
Machine. Fighting.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I'd watch it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I wouldn't watch it.
I would totally watch that.
Carpenter, intended this as, there was an end to the story. Like, you have the first Halloween, and then the second one, basically, he does what he wants to with the Michael Myers story. Mm-hmm. The third Halloween is actually, it's more like, think Alfred Hitchcock Presents or Twilight Zone. It's a bunch of different stories, and none of them feature Michael Myers. But it said it's Halloween. He wanted to use the Halloween name to kind of promote this because he thought it would be an interesting way to continue the series. People did not like that Michael Myers was not a part of it. So by the time you get back to the fourth one, John Carpenter is largely out of the picture, and that's when I think you really start seeing the series go into a decline.
Now, the first one came out 40 years ago.
1978. Yeah, yeah.
And it was Jamie Lee Curtis's first leading role.
I think so, yeah.
And that's how she got the name of Scream Queen, which yep. is why it was hilarious that she's on a TV show called The Scream Queens.
Yeah.
And my spouse is arguing with me that was the first time you saw the what is now trope of, hey, the bad guy's dead. And then he sits up, but no one realizes he's still alive. And it's like, okay, I don't know.
I mean, honestly, if you will look around that time that Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Halloween came out, they are the ones that created that kind of low budget, intended for a teen audience, and just sequelize to no end.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally, if you're just talking to me in passing, I don't like horror movies. I don't like the endless sequels. The writing is poor. The acting's usually poor. And the people that created these, kind of the creative impetuous for these, Wes Craven, the director? Is it Sean Cunningham that did?
I have no idea.
Friday the 13th. I think, off the top of my head, that's who I think it is. And you've got John Carpenter.
Mm-hmm.
All of these guys kind of had an end game for all of these. And if you'll notice, about the time that they don't have anything to do with the series anymore, they really just take an epic swan dive in quality. I think one of the last ones before he re-entered the series with the Nightmare on Elm Street, Wes Craven was part of Nightmare on Elm Street Part 3. Probably the best of that series. You've also got a very young Frank Darabont,
mm-hmm.
Who went on to do Shawshank Redemption, Green Mile, the absolutely heart-wrenching Mist. Basically, he just started adapting Stephen King after that.
But not Gorillas in, though.
No, that was a different one. That's not the same Mist.
Not at all.
That Mist did not come for those gorillas, thank God. Because that Mist
that
was not
be
kind. Who? Talk about another mashup.
Yeah, I don't know.
What was the one you just did, Halloween and Jaws?
Halloween 3 and Jaws 3, those two storylines.
Are they 3D?
They could be.
I mean, I don't think the original Halloween 3 was in 3D, though it might have been.
Who knows? So, All I know about Halloween, because I decided I wanted to pretend to care, you've got this guy who, for whatever reason, was in an insane asylum, and he was super crazy as a kid, and he randomly starts killing people, or he has a method to his madness?
It has been a long time since I've seen the first Halloween. I don't remember all of that, and the stuff that I do remember has also been colored by the sequels mm-hmm. that are now non-canon.
Oh, see, I just watched the Everything Wrong With.
I really need to go back, because like I've seen all of the Halloween movies, but like some of them I've seen the once. Like,
do you remember how the first one ended?
It was... I want to say, like, he's thrown out the window, and then when they go to look for him...
And he's gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
After he was, you know, a million things have happened to him where he should have been dead.
Well, in the first one, like, he's not this superhuman zombie. By the time you get to, like, some of the later movies, like, basically, he's an unkillable demon.
Which is why you need the sharks.
That's how you kill demons?
Potentially.
I don't know that you've got anything like, let's say, like dogmatically to back that up, but I love where you're going with it. Love it. Love it.
I think this should be greenlit, you know? I really do.
The only way to stop an undead demon
is with an undead
shark. And they'd be like, well, what chapter and verse are you getting that from?
I'm just getting it.
It'd be like the Book of Apocalypses. And I'll be like, that's not even in the Apocrypha. Are you just making books
Speaking
up?
Speaking of sharks, did I tell you the shark incident of 20,000 of 2018?
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah,
no, but tell me.
So the fam and I went to Cocoa Beach because, you know, hashtag I dream of Jeannie. And then the spouse goes to the seashore first. Why?
Fights a shark?
Almost. Oh. How about looks at one?
Well, I mean, it's very similar to what I said.
And of course, I'm left to wrestle with the massive beach umbrella and this and that because, you know, he doesn't know how. And as I go with the children, I see him and many others like him, and they're all kind of standing in the same spot, and nobody is in the water. Nobody. And I'm thinking, oh, seriously? Seriously. No one's in the water. What's in the water? And then you see it. Dun, 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 dun.
Ferocious dolphin?
It was a shark. It was 2 or 3 feet long shark. Dun, dun, dun. It was more like dun, 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 dun. It really was not that threatening.
I really wonder if
dun,
Jaws
dun, dun, dun.
Had not become the cultural phenomenon that it became, would people have the nearly paralyzing fear of sharks that they do? I mean, they're obviously like dangerous animals, but do you think some of that has been colored by the fact?
Oh, for sure. Apparently, sharks cannot harm surfers because the surfers were like, and they're blowing past the lifeguards, and the lifeguards don't even try to stop them. It's like, okay, did they have some superpower I'm unaware of? Because they're... Well, there's
Chief,
the shark.
Chief
there's...
Brody was trying to stop everybody.
Exactly.
Maybe these are just really passive lifeguards. They're like, no, stop.
And the lifeguards were almost running in slow-mo with the abs and everything. It was just like, huh, I didn't know lifeguards
didn't
existed like that.
Any of them
like
started
that.
Like humming, doing the, I'll be ready. I'll be ready.
I felt they were. And they had like a Jeep to ride up. Was
it yellow?
It was red. It was so funny
That's
to me.
That's less fun.
I know.
I'm not
and
as
then,
enthusiastic about this
There was
story
this
now.
One woman. She was like the shark watcher. And she went to tell everyone.
It would have been better if she was the shark whisperer. No, she just comes up beside it and she's like, shh, shh, shh.
All I know
Eat
is she annoyed
man.
Me from
she
annoyed
him.
Me from 7 paces away. She was up and down that beach telling everyone as if it was a man eater.
That really sounds like something Clint Eastwood would have said, like in A Fistful of Dollars. that woman, she annoyed me from 7 steps away.
Yes, she did. even annoyed my children. Did you see that woman? Oh, yes, that woman.
Who could
yes,
I have missed her, Mom? She annoyed me from 12 paces.
We were all
instantly
annoyed.
I saw her, my eyes drenched by the sun.
I had a backstory for her and everything, you know?
I'm glad I'm not the only one that creates backstories for people I've never met and will never meet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just see them and I'm like,
who doesn't?
What's that about?
Who doesn't?
I'm going to say 98% of the population. Like, they've probably got a name for it, like in clinical wards about what we do. They're just like, right? Oh yes, backstory
creationism.
Yeah, it only afflicts like about one in every 500 billion people. About every 17 generations, you just have these individuals that they don't care to know the actual backstory.
Oh, no, I could care less.
But they'll invent it and. I mean, they'll just hang on it. They'll start putting in intimate details about
yes.
these people's lives.
Yeah.
And they won't even walk up to them to see if they're right. It's
no.
a very strange affliction. It confuses the best of us.
Yes. Yes. I'll tell you her backstory at another podcast. But that was my brush with a shark. And eventually,
like that we've downgraded it from DEF CON. Yeah. It's not my brush with death. It was like, there's a. As a shark.
Eh, no biggie. Yeah, I actually thought I'd get more of a response from people. It's like, there was a shark!
Oh.
I know.
Was it... Oh.
It's just, did you lose your arm?
Was
no.
Was his name Bruce?
People, you don't even know why that's funny. Anyway, so I want to see the sharks with Halloween 3, but... I digress.
As this is not the Halloween that happened.
Yet. No. So the first Halloween 40 years ago, Jamie Lee Curtis is randomly attacked, whatever. We don't know or care.
Very damsel in distress.
Yes, she's stabby,
movie.
Stabby McStab a lot. And then he's there and then he's out the window and then whoosh, gone. So starting with the new Halloween, which is the movie we're actually reviewing 12 minutes later.
That's what the name, we should change that name. The name of the podcast.
12 minutes later. So Jamie Lee Curtis is in it, and she is still a babysitter, or?
The more and more I watched this, the gentleman responsible for this, I really want to say, had to have watched Terminator 2 recently or had it in their minds when they're watching it. You had Linda Hamilton in the first Terminator, mm-hmm. very almost mousy. Like she is not like capable of taking care of herself. Like just like I said, very very stereotypical damsel in distress. You get to Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness! Like she's
ripped.
The first time you meet her, she's like doing pull ups. Like whenever
my son's gonna save the world.
Oh, like I mean she's packing. Like you don't want to mess with this one. Almost kills the Terminator, the evil Terminator in this one. Not. Mm-hmm. Not Schwarzenegger's, but almost takes out the T-1000 without the assistance of anybody else in the movie. Jamie Lee Curtis, like I said, the rest, Halloween 2 through, let's say, 14, however many there are now, that none of those are canon. The only thing that happened was the first Halloween, and now it's 40 years later.
Okay.
She has been training for the last 40 years, wanting Michael Myers to get out of confinement. She wants him out of the psych ward so she can kill him.
So she knows he's in a psych ward?
Yes. Oh, she's aware of it, yeah.
Oh.
She has went off the deep end. Like
so, but the ending of the first one was he's just gone. But
they catch him.
Okay, so now she knows he's back in the psych ward.
Well, she's known it for a long time. Like, they think she is nuts. Like, they end up taking the daughter that she has from her.
Oh, they think she's nuts, just like in Terminator. They thought she was nuts.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, this parallels a lot of that stuff. Like, I don't want to give too much of it away, but, like, Michael Myers, as much as he is hunting people in this movie, and they've got some great deaths in this movie. Like, I don't like a lot of, like I said, the Halloween follow-ups. This Halloween, which, funny enough, is called Halloween as well. So, if you're looking at this... In the
Halloween as well, it's not a catchy title.
No, not. I'm saying the first one's name was Halloween.
I see.
The sequel's name is
okay.
Halloween.
All
like,
right.
I don't know if there's ever been an instant. Like, you've had remakes that were made, like, you know, 30 years mm-hmm. later, 20 years later, and they'll just call it, like, Evil Dead. Like, and then you just affix the year to it. I've never seen a sequel that they don't even throw a number on it.
How about A Star Is Born?
Well, it's not a sequel. I'm saying remakes. Remakes, you can do that. But like this, following the story, like like not all the Star Treks are numbered, or they have like some kind of like, you know, Into Darkness, Beyond, or Generation. Like they've got a name affixed to it, so you're not just like, oh, they didn't even they weren't like it's Halloween 2.0, Halloween.
So same director?
No, Carpenter did not direct this one, but he is on there as an executive producer, and they used his theme. Like, even down to the font that they used for the original. And you know how, like, whenever you'll get those old projector base where, like, the lens maybe, like, isn't completely cleaned off, so you almost get, like, kind of a an illumination from the it looks kind of like whenever you see the scan lines from an old VHS tape.
Okay.
It looks like the original Halloween, like the opening, like
interesting.
They did everything they could to make this feel just like sequentially, and like I said, even the visual in it looks like 1978's Halloween, a vintage look. Like I guess is maybe what I'm trying to get out there. Carpenter, I don't think had like a large amount of participation in it, but like I said, he is in there and a producer, and they use the theme, and like it's fascinating. And I'm a huge fan of Terminator 2, so that probably is what drew me in to that movie. Like, she is not the victim in this movie. If anything, if you were maybe even looking at it from a different perspective, like, she is basically a serial killer of one. She has spent her life, but like, she has damaged her relationship with her family. Everything that she has done is to kill Michael Myers. And like, the... I'm not going to give you like details on it, but like the climax of this movie, especially for like if you had just viewed the original Halloween, like is a very satisfying way to close out that story.
So I am not supposed to ask you.
Well, I'll tell
did she really kill him? Did he really stay dead?
You and I can discuss it if we want to say.
I see.
Like, I mean, we can do it here. Just saying.
Okay. But, so, here's my question. Not your favorite type of movie. Did you enjoy this one?
Yes. Like, okay. Like I said, the follow-ups to Halloween, like, besides Halloween 2 and 3 to a lesser degree, I don't like any of those movies. I have not revisited them. Same way with the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Like, I liked 1, I liked 3, and I like Wes Craven's New Nightmare. All the rest of them are terribly disposable.
And yet, we would have happily worked on any of them.
Not commenting on the my refusal to take a job. I'm just talking about the quality of said films. And I think it's interesting as well that like you can do that with films these days. Back in the day, like you completely saying like a sequel didn't happen, that was unheard of. Like you weren't just like, oh yeah, 7 didn't happen. We're erasing that.
Mm-hmm.
This movie basically just comes in, and this is after the series was rebooted in, what was it, 2007 and 2009, I think?
Sure.
There's a reboot series, and like after the second one fizzled out, they're just like, because I think that's the most recent theatrical Halloween endeavor was 2009's Halloween 2.
Mm-hmm.
This one is just like, yeah, none of them happened but the first one. And like, after Star Trek V, why didn't Paramount just be like, yeah, no, no, that, yeah, tell you what, we're even going to say the whale thing didn't happen. This is Star Trek 3. We never lost Spock either. He's been dead. That's what 6 is. Like, you didn't see that back in the day. And I think it's really interesting that they just, and they even have people that have participated in some of the sequels, like in Halloween H2O, Jamie Lee Curtis. Halloween 20 years later. There was one made in 1998.
It's called H2O.
It's called H2O. Halloween
That's
20 years
hilarious.
Later.
That's hilarious.
Jamie Lee Curtis participated in that movie, and I think John Carpenter had some input into it. That movie's no longer canon. Like, just...
Okay. All right.
I think it's kind of fascinating that now, like, I mean, it's literally whatever... That movie didn't work? Fine. This one didn't happen.
So Jamie Lee Curtis got to revisit her character that made her a superstar.
20 years later, and 20 years after she revisited her, 20 years later, which is now 40 years later, she got to redo it again, except the one that she did when she was 20, 20 years later, that one didn't happen.
And what did you think of her treatment of her character?
I thoroughly enjoyed this. And I don't like horror sequels. It takes a lot from Terminator 2. So if you are a fan of that movie, you like the arc.
Is Robert Patrick in this?
No, but I would have been all about the T-1000 showing up to mess up Michael Myers. Like, it just...
Yes.
People are getting their comeuppance, like, in it. Like, you get to see Jamie Lee Curtis grow into, like, and admittedly, probably a little crazy. But, like, she is a very strong, driven female character that really all she wanted to do was protect her family.
I feel like I know her because there was that one time when I worked for the Smithsonian Mail Order Division and she called.
And said, do you want some Activia?
No.
She gave you some of her poop yogurt?
No. Okay. She actually called the girl next to me because, you know, phone center. And she ordered something really cool for her spouse. Nobody knew who she was but me. It was like, are you serious?
Jamie Lee Curtis came onto my radar because of the movie True Lies. She plays.
Love that. Yeah.
Oh my. Like, if there was ever a Schwarzenegger movie that needed to be sequelized, True Lies, like Terminator 2, again, made by Cameron and Schwarzenegger, fantastic movie. True Lies reunites Cameron, James Cameron, Titanic, Avatar. Mm-hmm. Like, for anybody that didn't realize, the guy used to do some just ridiculously good action movies back in the day. True Lies is basically. Like
super fun.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Like, he is his family believes is like this computer salesman.
Mm-hmm.
When he leaves,
boring.
He goes to what this super, super agent like play, called the Omega Sector. Charlton Heston is his boss.
Yeah.
The only probably funny thing that Tom Arnold has ever done
is this movie.
Tom Arnold, if this is the only time you had ever seen Tom Arnold and you didn't see all the other times where he was not funny, like, you would think, like, this man was gangbusters in everything. He is all over it.
He is the Kevin Hart of this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's awesome.
And Jamie Lee Curtis.
Is awesome.
Jamie Lee Curtis starts kind of following. She starts suspecting some things about her husband. Starts following him around, like. Starts learning things about him she didn't know. And the movie, it's almost as funny as it is action-packed. Like, if you've never watched True Lies, like, and again, this is sort of related to it because it's Jamie Lee Curtis, fantastic performance by her and Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm. And what I personally love about her, other than the fact that her parents being who they are is really cool, I'm not even going to bother to tell you. Google it if you don't know who her parents are. You should. A few years ago, I guess, she did a photo shoot where, because Jamie Lee Curtis looks amazing. She doesn't look insane, crazy, trying to look 20 years old amazing. She just looks really good. And she did a photo shoot saying, okay, this is what I look like when I showed up at the studio today. It was a regular woman look. And then there's a photo of her all glammed out, like you'd see her walking
like
the red carpet.
Up and, yeah. Yeah.
And she looked fabulous. And then she said, I didn't just put on a dress and get my hair done. And then she goes through, you know, I'm wrapped in cellophane. I got this going on and that going on. And like the team of people. And her point was that you shouldn't feel bad about yourself because you don't have
like
a team
this.
Of people.
You don't have 33 people
yeah.
like correcting the lighting, making sure that the lens like is focused properly to make sure that maybe this blemish over here. Like I don't know if she picks projects because of this, but I think she has always come across as a very strong, like decisive like woman.
Mm-hmm.
And to boot, I think she's also a talented actress.
Oh, yeah. And just to throw this in, I don't even recall the name of the film, but I saw a picture of Nicole Kidman and whatever her new movie is. You will not recognize her. You know the crazy cat lady on The Simpsons?
Yes.
Okay. Make her into an actual person, but it's Nicole Kidman making Charlize Theron's monster a glamour girl by comparison.
That's... What would not have made that prediction after seeing Days of Thunder?
Yeah. Fascinating. And it's something new, and I didn't bother to remember. Anyway, Jamie Lee Curtis, we like her. I'm glad the movie is good. And it is R, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Michael Myers definitely like dispatches of some people in some pretty brutal ways. There's a little bit of language. If you are a fan of this series, particularly the first one, I cannot imagine you do not enjoy this movie. Like, even as, like I said, somebody that...
Jump scares, I guess?
Yeah, there's definitely some of those in there. Like, if you're one of those dyed-in-the-wool horror fans, like you've seen every Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Halloween, like, you will be in on this movie. But even as a person... That like I said, I'm not just in like Flint for horror movies. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I don't enjoy them. This one in particular, and Kristen, who is a huge fan of horror movies,
what'd she think?
She enjoyed herself as well. So like this does a good job of satisfying the diehards and kind of the on the fence. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe is what you'd call it. Like. I want the movie to be good. It just because it has the name Halloween doesn't mean like I'm going to be in for it.
Right.
But I left the theater pretty satisfied.
Excellent.
And if they need to end the series here, or if they want to bring Jamie Lee Curtis back in 20 years, whatever, reboot it again. I don't know.
You'd be all for it. Okay.
But yeah, this is a solid, satisfying conclusion to that story. And honestly, even if you're not a horror fan, I think there is enough about it that you would enjoy it.
Okay. Parental guidance suggested Halloween 40 years later.
Halloween 2018.
I'm just adding that. 40 years later.
Well, just in case they're like, well, that's not playing. All that's playing is Halloween at the...
Ah, 40 years later. Anyway, watch the first one and then watch this one. And Adam says it's good, so he would know... That. I trust him completely. So thank you for listening. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.